That was a really good declaration. I can't remember that. I'm going to use that one again. It was that was great. As long as I do so many of the things, it's, I lose track of what I've done, what I haven't done. So, but that sounded really good. I will definitely use that one. I actually want to just honor Peter for his faithfulness over the last 12 months in okay? Okay. 1, 2. Well, it's not actually on at all.
Is your mic on?
That might be a really good thing.
It's your fault, Jim.
You always need power, you see. I want to honor Peter because, you know, him and Andrew actually have been really supportive. Having 12 months ago stepped out on this journey, you know, I did not know how things were going to open up or how things were going to transpire. And they were the people who gave me the initial, hey, there's someone out there that's actually interested. And, you know, he asks really good questions. You know, the Atlanta hangouts are always excellent. They just are, because I feel he draws stuff out. And so he asked some really excellent questions, and you know, he's been really supportive and encouraging over the last 12 months, which has been really, really helpful. So thank you. And I know for you guys here, you know, he's helped facilitate a lot of what's gone on. So, you know, I just want to honor you for that. So. I want to finish off just the end of what I was going to say last night. Basically, anybody can learn how to engage God, both within their own life, because they're a habitation of God, and in the heavenlies, and then become a gateway of heaven on earth. Anyone who's born again of the Spirit of God, that is their destiny, to live in heaven and on earth, and to transform earth into what is in heaven. And so anyone can learn how to do it. And I've obviously encouraged a lot of people to engage God in this way. But let me say, it takes desire and then discipline before you get to the delight. You know, I'm at the delight stage, which is great. But I'm actually still really disciplined, because I want to give God first place in my life, because that is the key to everything else I do. It's relationship. And so, you know, I have chosen to give God the first part of my day every day. And it's not a hard thing. You know, it's a delight. I love to spend time in the presence of God. You know, I got up, I got up at 4:30 this morning, and I looked at the watch and said, okay, was it time at home? Okay, it's 9:30 at home. Great, I can go into heavens for the meeting at home, because now they've actually finished the meeting 4 hours ago. So I went into heaven and I began to administrate some things from the mountain, and then I went back to sleep and woke up at 7 o'clock, and then I prepared a brand new message for tonight, which was great. So because it came out of my night sleep, because I went to sleep with God. Even though it was like 1 o'clock before we got to bed, and my voice was just like done at the end of the day, but I always go to sleep with God. You know, I want to go in my spirit to engage with Him, and I woke up with some stuff, and okay, I'll do that. And then actually, I went out for a swim. So eight o'clock, I had an hour's swim in the pool, and I love being in water because I love seeing it as I step into the river of life and go deeper. You know, I don't really like getting my hair wet, so I don't go under the water. But I had an awesome time. It was so peaceful. And then the sun just came up over the top of the house with the cross and the tree.
Did you see?
Yeah, and I'm sort of, I placed myself in the far corner, and the sun was there, and I'm just, I'm just sort of in the natural realm. I'm in the water, and I'm in the sun, and I'm just in heaven, in under the light of the glory of God, in engaging God, and that's just a delight. But everything else flows out of that. You know, everything comes out of that intimacy of relationship, and you can't shortcut it. It's a relationship, and it takes time to develop and to grow, and the more time you spend, the deeper it grows. But we can train our senses to engage that relationship, so that relationship engages us body, soul, and spirit. It's not just a mental thing, it's not just an emotional thing, it's all of us. Hebrews 5:14, you know, solid food is for the mature. Well, then it defines who are the mature. Those who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern. To discern what God is doing, what the enemy is doing, to discern the spiritual kingdom around them. But we have to practice to train our senses. And it takes time. You know, it takes time to practice. You know, if you're talented at any sport, you may be greatly talented, but if you do not put in the effort to train and become fit, and to actually practice what you're good at, then you will never be top of the tree. You know, but if you take natural talent, which all of us have, because we've been given the natural talents to be able to engage God. It's our destiny to be able to engage God. But you have to work at it to develop that into the best that you can do. And so we need to practice. And we practice seeing from the inside out. To begin with, because we're so used to seeing everything from the outside in, all the information that we've got in our lives, everything that we've received into our soul has come from the outside in. And you don't get rid of that by trying to deal with it from the outside in. You deal with it initially from the inside out. And so everything flows from the inside out. And we learn to see from our spirit, and then we learn to see from the eyes of our heart. We learn to see around us, because everything is flowing from the inside out. And that's what training our senses does. We train our spirit to engage, we train our soul to engage. Our spirit then begins to rule our soul. Our body just comes into line, because it will. It will follow whichever leading it's going to be directed with. And if our spirit is ruling, but to get your spirit ruling, it has to grow bigger than it is now. And our spirit is a dimensional place of thing of light, really, that actually is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. You know, and you can engage there as a dimensional place, and actually it can grow to be around you and creating an atmosphere around your life if you get it flowing through the gateways of your life so that it's around you. And that means that people can step into it and people can engage it, but you have to practice growing it and developing it. You know, I had a friend who wanted a six pack. He was a skinny guy, but he was determined to get a six pack. But he took the easy option. And the easy option, he bought a piece of kit that meant you could sit in front of the TV, put these electrodes on your skull, and give yourself all these little electric shocks that would stimulate your muscles. Well, guess what? It didn't work. Because there is no shortcut to putting in the effort to sit up and crunch and do whatever you need to do to grow those muscles. It's exactly the same. You see your spirit as a muscle that needs exercise. And quite often when you grow your muscles, you exercise to such a degree that you tear all your muscles and then they rebuild. That's what happens. They rebuild stronger and bigger. So, we need to do physical workouts. I'm not against that. I don't find time to do too many of them now. But spiritual exercises are really, really key. And using tongues as an exercise is really, really important. You know, learning how to pray in tongues on the inside, learning how to pray in tongues without ceasing from your spirit, learning how to pray in tongues while you're doing everything else, so that you're constantly connected to heaven, your spirit is growing and growing and growing because you're exercising it constantly. You know, I can't emphasize enough how important tongues are as a gift. you know, 150 years ago, people tarried to get that gift. It was seen as a highly important thing. But they went in tarrying meetings for days and days, waiting for that experience. And they valued it. And I think it's become cheapened in a way. Because, we'll just pray for you, you'll get the gift of tongues, move on. Actually, it is the language of heaven. Yeah. It's the spiritual language. It's just constantly communicating from God and flowing. And I would encourage you to really practice that. If you're quick, in the next couple of weeks, we've got a podcast, which I did last Sunday with our church. Basically, put them through a whole spiritual training exercise on tongues. And I gave them a really good workout on practicing tongues and how to do it and why it's important, the different sorts of tongues and everything. So you can download that from the website for the next couple of weeks, because I'm obviously not going to be doing another one for the next 2 weeks. They're usually up for a week and then they get replaced by the next one. So that's something you can get and use that. At the end of it, there's a PDF, I think, that I can also let you have. Yeah, so we want the glory of God to flow from heaven through us and out of us. Now, I've really discovered that there are two really main pathways of this. How to enter heaven in a systematic, direct way. Most of us have had encounters of heaven and visions and encounters, but people don't know how to actually do it when they need to do it, and that's every day. Well, you can't wait for a wonderful worship time if you need to be on your mountain. You need to be able to step in by faith and to engage your mountain by your spirit whenever you need to. And so I've learned that these two pathways are a process that anybody can engage in so that they can learn how to do this if they're willing to practice. And so the first pathway is the pathway of relationship, which is really about intimacy with the presence of God and the person of God in us. And it's sort of centered around the garden of our heart, opening our first love gate, and engaging back on the river of life into the Garden of Eden in heaven, where you engage the river of life, the tree of life, the waterfalls, God's garden, throne of grace, lots of places of engagement, which are all about the source of life flowing. Because it's all flowing out of relationship. And then the second pathway is the pathway of responsibility. And that's about yielding as a living sacrifice to find God's kingdom purposes, his thrones, the courts, the mountains of God, all those things, where we take responsibility as sons to rule. Now there's a process of training that we go through, and it starts with relationship. You know, most of us have been really good stewards in our life of what God has given us to do. We've been stewarding that in this realm, walking in his ways. And he's noticed that, and he appreciates that. But actually, there is another level where we need to become friends of God, and in being friends of God, we then begin to connect with his heart and connect with the revelation of who he is and who we are and our identity. And then that then leads us to take responsibility for all the spheres of influence that we've been given in our destiny. But there's a process to learn how to do that. Now, and the reality is you cannot rule in righteousness without coming from a place of rest and relationship. Otherwise, you will rule out of the soul. And that means you will be tempted to use the authority and the position you've got for your own needs. That's why we need to deal with our own needs in relationship and find all our needs met in Christ. The need for affirmation, the need for love, the need for acceptance, the need for approval, the need for significance, the need for actual purpose in life. Because we've got those needs. God built them into us, so that we could find them in him. And we've found them in everything else in the world, and that's messed us up. Because then none of them can actually match up to the perfect thing that God has for us. And so we all end up getting damaged and hurt and disappointed and rejected and full of fear and all the stuff that happens as a result of nurture, nature, and trauma in our lives. But God wants to change that. And it means coming from a place of rest. And if you're in a place of rest, it does not matter what is going on around you. You live in the eye of the storm. And you live out of a place of rest no matter what, because you know in God your security, you know your provision, you know your blessing, you know the power and authority that you have in God's kingdom as his son and as a child of God. And therefore, we can then, knowing him as Father, then releases us to engage in lordship and kingship and eventually in full sonship. And we have to be priests before we can be kings. And that priestly function was to go into the intimate places with God, to hang out there, and to minister to him in those intimate places, and to engage with him. And that's what we do in this relationship, on the pathway of relationship. We are learning to engage God in our spirit and engage first love. We're learning to engage God in the garden of our heart. And ultimately, on the dance floor and the soaking room and the bridal chamber, it's like there's a whole journey of discovery of deeper and deeper and deeper levels of intimacy. And then engaging back into the river of life. And hopefully, I think maybe on Wednesday, I want to share those two pathways in detail, and then we can just go and take a journey on them and go into that, which will be great. So love comes before service. You don't serve for love. You serve out of love. And that is a huge distinction which will free us from being in dead works. Because dead works are things we do to try and earn something that we've already got, but we don't know. So we need to know that we're loved, know that we're accepted, know that we're chosen, know that God has a destiny for us. Therefore, know that we are loved by God, and then we just want to serve him. We want to surrender to him. It's not a hardship. And when you know you're loved, you can face the discipline of God. God's discipline is not punishment, ever. There is never guilt, shame, and condemnation that comes from God's discipline. He just trains us to know him more and to fulfill our destiny. And the enemy will use punishment in sort of the word for punishment instead of discipline to get us in fear of surrendering to God. Because the image is, well, God is waiting to pounce when we get it wrong. He's not. He is always smiling over us. His countenance is always favorable. He loves us. He's desperate for us to know him and know us in him. And so it's really, really important to embrace the identity as sons and know God's love, because it will free you from all those temptations of trying to do things for God rather than do things with him. Because God wants us to be in partnership. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're not junior partners. We're joint heirs with his son. Think about that. Joint heirs with his son. That means everything Jesus did, and greater things than Jesus did in this realm, we get to do. And that means birthing things out of our spirit and out of our destiny. And that's really cool stuff. I mean, you know, it's like I think I mentioned the black hole experience when I was taken out onto the black hole. But I didn't actually tell you what happened out there. And I was taken out into the event horizon of a black hole, and my spirit began to feel a rumble, began to hear something. Now, my mind was going, nothing can escape a black hole, I don't think. Light gets into it, and it doesn't come out of it. What am I feeling? What am I hearing? And I had this experience, and I knew it was the groan of creation. What I was feeling was the groan of creation, that was because of the absence of light in many areas in our universe. And I'm there sort of having this experience, and when I get out of it and I finish and I go home, I Googled it, sound coming from a black hole. And I found that they discovered that there is a sound that comes out of a black hole, which is a B flat, 57 octaves lower than the lowest B flat on a keyboard. So it's a real deep groan. But we are called to answer that groan with our sound. Because all of us have a sound. All of us have a frequency, a vibration, a song. And literally, your DNA has a song that if you send off to one of the universities in the US, you can get a recording of the song. of your DNA, because they've got a computer program which turns it into a song. Now, unfortunately, it is out of chaos, because you have mother and father bringing your genealogy, and so you're birthed into chaos. Now, when you get born again, your light strand of DNA comes within the other two to form a three-stranded cord that cannot be broken, and it begins to then transform your two natural strands of DNA back into your original condition. So your song will change as you're transformed. And that song will form part of the symphony of heaven and the sound of heaven together. Because when you go there, you hear other people's sound. And you hear it in a harmony, in a symphony. I mean, it's a wonderful thing when you tune into it. And it's not a sound that you hear with your ears. It's a sound you pick up with your spirit, and you begin to resonate with it and come into a harmony and with it all. And so we need to produce that sound. And that means we need to be transformed, and we get transformed by knowing the love of God. Now I'm back with my notes. Because the love of God is what will enable us to submit to transformation. Because it will be, hey, I'm willing to acknowledge everything because God loves me anyway. And I can stand in heaven clothed in righteousness. I have robes of righteousness. I don't even ask for it. I step in and I'm in righteousness because I'm in him. I'm in his realm where I am righteous. And it's wonderful to know that, which then enables us to make holy choices. And the more time we spend in righteousness, the easier it is to make holy choices, because you just want to please God. You just want to do things that are on his heart, and you want to align yourself with his desires, which is why we can begin to look into his heart and his desires, and then our whole spirit and soul and our heart just draws us towards it. And we find ourselves being drawn towards the things that are within our destiny and God. Now, there are many small steps of obedience that you need to take. You know, it doesn't all happen in one great big bang. You're all there. You know, God will give you opportunities, and he will give you tests along the way, and he'll want to show you where you're at. And for me, you know, that was all about trust and his guidance and direction. And I went through a 4-month period where I found myself in worship, and I ended up in this darkness. And the first time I went in there, I was like, whoa, where am I? I mean, I'm in a worship service in front of the throne, and all of a sudden I'm in darkness. And it was like, okay. And the way I work is I just then start to think and meditate around it, and then I get all the thoughts of God. Hey, this is the darkness that God's in, because he's hidden in the dark cloud, and that dark cloud. Hey, so God is in the middle of this darkness. How do I get through it? You know, because that's how I work. It's just like, how do I get through this darkness? So I'm 3 weeks following, I end up in this dark place, but I can't see. So I'm like, how do I get through this? I'm trying to wade through it. I'm getting nowhere. It's like I'm walking in treacle. And then God says, right, okay, I want you to give me 4 months. And after 4 months, you are going to be able to come through this dark cloud. So I thought, oh, it's okay. I can do 4 months, you know. This was Jehovah sneaky at his worst, because I said yes. If I'd known what was coming, I am not sure I would have said yes, because I went through 4 months. I mean, this was basically in, I think it was in 2012, maybe, February 2012. I think it was sort of November to February 2012. And it's like, and God then, he just started telling me what he was going to do. So I want you to spend a month here, and then you're going to spend a month here, you're going to spend a month here. Now, I had this vision of what this was going to be like. And it was just like, it was going to be great. I mean, I'd spent a fast with God so I can go through anything. And it's like, okay, first day, where are you? I can't see anything. It's like, I'm doing all the things I normally do. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not hearing anything. So God says, be still and know that I'm God. That's all he said. And that's all he said for the next month. Wow. Be still and know that I'm God. So I thought, well, that's not too difficult. I can just meditate on God for the next month. My soul kicked off something rotten. It's like it wanted to know what God was doing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I thought I trusted God. And I trusted God when I could see and hear and taste and touch and have all the visions and everything else. Now God was saying, well, just be still. And I'm like, well, what are you doing while I'm being still?
Yeah.
Because I know I'm used to getting answers when I ask questions like that. Be still and know that I am God. And that's all I got.
Yeah.
And so after a month of not seeing anything, having had 2 years of seeing everything,
yeah,
my soul was not in a happy place. And I'm seriously like, peace. And then it was like, okay, next month will be, that, it'll be better. It's going to be better. It was not better, because I get to the next month and it was wait. Wait for what? So, God, what am I waiting for? Because my soul wanted to know. Because when my soul knew, my soul was happy to say yes. But it was not being told anything. My spirit was just waiting. And so I went through the whole month waiting. Now I'm sussing out, oh, next month. What is coming next month? And so I get to next month, rest. Now I'm used to resting. I love resting in the presence of God. I love entering rest. But now I'm having to enter rest without any experience, without seeing anything, without feeling anything. I just get a month of rest. Rest, rest.
Rest.
At that point, I was at serious breaking point. Because it was like, I'm either going to die to this, and my soul is going to die to needing to know to trust God, or I'm going to give up because I can't carry on like this. And so I got to the point where, okay, I need to surrender. And I thought I'd surrendered. And so, I mean, I went through every year of my life. I went through every year of my gateways. I looked at every gateway from every year. I repented of everything that moved. You know, I'd done with trading floors. I'd done all sorts of stuff. And it's like now I was faced with, I can't see anything. I can't hear anything. I'm just waiting. I'm just resting. I'm just being still. And I am so frustrated. And so I got to the point where I got to the last month. I thought, wow, yeah. Because then God's part of that was, now I want you to enter a fast. So a 21-day fast. So well, I've done a 40-day fast. 21 days is going to be easy. It was really not easy. Because I entered this fast from 3 months of, I haven't seen anything, I haven't heard anything. That's worse than I was before. I used to see things and hear things before I went on the fast before. Now I'm, you know, so I get to this point where I'm going through and I'm thinking, okay, this is the dark cloud. I'm in this dark cloud. It's like, I'm going to get to see God. It's like, I'm going to get to see the person of God. This is worth it. It's like, because there was this glimmer of hope that said there is something ahead which is going to be better. Now, spin back 6 months, and I saw my scroll of destiny. And on this scroll of destiny, I saw a flame, a blue flame. And I saw, in an instant, I saw everything leading up to that point in my life. And then afterwards, I saw everything exploding going forward. And I thought, wow, that where's that flame? You know, I want to step into that flame.
Yeah.
Now I'm in this thing now, and it's like, oh my word, this is the flame. And my whole life has been leading up to this. And so in that next month, I had developed a marriage contract with God, in which I had 58 things on my marriage contract. I had 20 dreams and visions of things that I'd seen myself doing in the kingdom and stuff. I had another 39 things in terms of sonship, and these were all things I was expecting God to do. You know, I surrendered to Him. So he said, okay, what are you expecting in return? Well, I'm expecting my destiny. I'm expecting this, 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 and this. And so I had this 59-page document with my marriage contract. So now I get to bring this before God in this fast, and I literally had to die to every one of those 59 things. Like, seriously die. This was not just, oh, well, you're going to do this anyway, so I'll just give this up. I grieved over every single one of them, like as if they were never going to happen. And this was a pretty serious thing. I mean, I was like, and I grieved for basically 21 days. And I was a wreck. I mean, literally, I was an emotional wreck. At the end of it, I was really wrecked. But I came out of it, and I took my 59-page thing and I burnt it, and I offered it up as incense to God. I came out of it, and I knew that if I never did another thing for God in my life, He would still love me. And I know that He never does another thing for me, I would still love Him. Because I know I trust Him. Because
yes.
I know I trust Him when I can't see anything, when I can't hear anything. I trust Him because I trust Him because I know Him. And I know Him in the darkness as well as in the light. And that changed my life. Everything since then has totally changed. And I went in through the dark cloud and I get to see the face of God. It's like the person of God. This is not His presence. This is not what He's like on the throne. This is in eternity. I think it's in the realm of perfection that I've been back. But I was so excited to get in and see. And I must have been in there. I don't know what fraction of a second I managed to stay in there without backing out. And I learned from Ian Clayton, do not look into his eyes. Enoch looked into his eyes and he never came back. So I'm not looking into his eyes. So I look at one facet of the manifold facets that there are of God. It's like His skin is diamonds, but they're not white diamonds. I looked at one facet, and it so filled me with, I couldn't contain it. I just backed out of there in an instant. I thought, man, I've gone through all this for 4 months. I've been through repentance. I've dealt with every gateway. And I cannot stay here for less than a fraction of a second. It's like, what else has God got to do? But I have been back and I stayed there a little bit longer the next time. But I've realized it's a journey. And the levels of transformation, because at this point in time, I had not genetically done transformation. I hadn't gone through the transformation series, which was in 2012, and I hadn't dealt with genetic transformation. I hadn't dealt with bloodline stuff. I hadn't dealt with iniquity. I dealt with all the surface layers, all the behavior. I dealt with the thoughts and motives of my heart, but I hadn't dealt with the seed that was in my genetic material. But then that is why I could not stay there, because there was mixture in my seed. So then I set on a journey of I'm gonna get transformed. I'm gonna get transfigured. I'm gonna live forever. I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna take communion. I am gonna apply the DNA of God. I'm gonna get on the dance floor. I'm gonna get the light of God's DNA to come around me and the 9 strands of His DNA to encode a different thing. I'm gonna be transformed. And it's like it set me on a journey of embracing transformation at a totally different level. I saw when I started to embrace communion and I started to bring my genetic material before God and the seed line, it was just horrible stuff. I mean, it's like I saw stuff from before the flood. I saw stuff in genetic stuff. There were certain things in my life that I struggled to overcome, even though, you know, like for months and months and months, there would be no problem. And all of a sudden, bang, I'd get whacked by this thing. I'm like, where did that come from? And it's like I tried to deal with every familiar spirit. There was no familiar spirits attached to it. I just didn't know what to do. But when I started to engage my genetic material with the DNA of God and embrace transformation and embrace that process, all this stuff came up to the surface. And it's that I saw where there were certain seeds in my genetic material which triggered behaviors that I could not get to anywhere else. I went through everything to try and find out where this came from. As soon as I dealt with it and I got that transformed, it stopped. I've never had another issue with any of those things. They totally got dealt with. You know, there were certain things that were associated with water, and I found out that there were certain genetic animal DNA with water, which was in my DNA line. And all of a sudden, all these things became clear, and I saw stuff. When I went to take communion, you go to take communion, it's like, oh, we just enter into the presence of God, and it's just like all of a sudden I get these images of stuff, which was really, really nasty stuff. But actually, having gone through it, it totally changed me. You know, it really changed me at a totally different level, and that has taken me into deeper levels of God. I could not get into kingship before I dealt with that. I was operating in lordship. I was operating on my mountains. You know, I was going through different, but I could not access wisdom. I could not access other things until I dealt with another level of transformation. And this was part of a journey and part of a process to trust God and to engage God at a completely different level. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to go through the same thing. Probably am, but in your own way. You know, in the way God will bring you through it, and God will take you into it if you surrender. Yeah, because I mean, I thought I'd surrendered. I just realized there were levels of surrender beyond what I even thought of, to be honest. But as a result of it, God has taken me to places and shown me things I never even dreamt of before. You know, and engaged. You know, the firestones. You know, I talked about my testimony of the firestone. When I've been back there, I've gone into three different levels of those firestones, and my mind has not been able to contain it at all. It's been so deep, but my spirit has resonated with it, and it's starting to manifest when I get on my mountain. And the stones, the nine stones and the three stones, which are, for me, make up 12 of government, and therefore the level of government. And I was given a crown and it had the 12 stones in the crown, and I found those 12 stones in the crown started to resonate with the revelation in the firestones. And I get on my mountain, and all of a sudden this resonance starts to take place, this frequency, and I start saying stuff and doing stuff that I had no cognitive understanding of. It just flowed out of my spirit, and I started engaging in some of the different protocols of heaven that came out of this. You know, because in a sense, you know, I went through killing the kings and dealing with all those stuff in the gates, and I went through all that. But this was just deeper. Now, this was not just things that my family had done or my genetic line had done. This was in my DNA. You know, this was actually part of who I had got from my parents. Now, I'll leave it there because I want to share a little bit more about that in a minute. But I wasn't intending to say any of that. But so I've learned to struggle and I've learned to resist, but I've also learned to surrender. You know, it's not come easy. But I've learned to surrender. So last year, when I got to God basically saying, "Look, you need to do this," it had come out of that experience, you know. And so my soul began to submit at a different level, and I began to surrender. Now, you know, as a result of surrendering, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing now. And that totally lines up with my destiny. And I know that I'm absolutely at home in what I'm doing. It's who I was always intended to be. And it just flows out of it. Now, God said he would open the doors. You know, I have not had to do anything other than one step of obedience. God has done the rest. You know, I wouldn't have known how to engage people all over the world. It's like I just was engaging Peter and Andrew and Sam, and that was it. And there was three guys I was talking to. But God had a bigger picture, so he opened up a door. And all he did was say, "Okay, I want you to engage the people in the UK rather than the people who are in the US." Well, okay, I can do that. I've got a list of people who have been to Ian Clayton's conference. I'll send them out an invitation to join. And as a result of that, basically I did my first Google Plus recorded hangout. And I had no intention of making that public. But because of a technical hitch, I basically just shared my testimony of my journey of seeing in the spirit. And bottom line is, they said, look, can you publish this for the people who couldn't get in? And it just, within a month, I had loads of people contacting me, wanting me to hang out. You know, and that began the journey. So one step of obedience can open up so many doors for you. And you don't have to figure out how to do it. Because that's what I was trying to do before. How could I do this? I don't know how to do it. But when I surrendered, God did it. And he did it in accordance with the things that were always in there. And my desires changed as a result of it. But I had to choose to step through those doors. And we all have to choose to step through those doors. So I don't know where you all are on your journey, but I know you're on one. You may not have really started, but I know that if you have a desire to begin and to follow the pathways, you can engage God and go further than I've gone. You know, I want people to go further than I go. That's my desire of my heart, that people will go further and higher and deeper, and hey, then they can mentor me. Because that's what it needs to be. Because I can only go to the places where my destiny really leads me. So it's really cool to listen to other people who go to other places, and you sort of can see many, much more. You know, but you need to be desiring and hungry. Now, I can see hungry people here. You know, I can see the flame that's on most of you burning and the light that's burning. You know, so I know you're hungry for it. But it will take discipline. You know, I'm not gonna be kind to you and say it's gonna be, because I'm not being kind. I need to be honest. You know, the reality is it takes discipline and perseverance, and you will have to surrender and you'll have to deal with things, but it is so worth it. It's so worth it to engage in God and engage in God's presence. Because it becomes an intimate delight. And it's waiting for every one of us. That place of intimacy with God is waiting for us to explore. That secret place in our own heart. That place in the garden of God. Being on the throne of grace. Eating the tree of life. I mean, there's just so many wonderful things. The question is, are you going to pursue it? You know, if you want to pursue it, it is there. You know, I guarantee it. You know, Jesus is here right now. You know, I was conscious of his presence earlier. And I think he wants to engage with you. And so I'm gonna just stop a little bit. And if you want to know what Jesus looked like to me, that was it. And I know other people have seen him like that. But I want you to just close your eyes right now. And I just want to encourage you just to begin to think of Jesus. Jesus is just going to come and he's going to kneel down in front of you. As you just activate the eyes of your heart, just sense his presence, feel that sense of peace as he draws near. If you can see him visually, that's great. If you just feel or sense or have an impression of his presence, that's great. Just go with where you are in your journey. But just look into his eyes. Just sense his love for you. Just open up your heart to him right now. Sense his affirmation and his love. His desire for you. His desire that you would join him on this journey, be in a joint heir with him. His desire that you be his brother. Now, as you just look into his eyes, just open up your heart. Just cast all your burdens onto him because he cares for you. Just enter into his rest. Just sense the peace and the joy and the love that he carries just fill you, overshadow you, cocoon you in an atmosphere of his presence. Let's just spend a few minutes just enjoying him as he shares his heart with you. Begin to just prepare yourself to bring what you've received in that sense of love and joy and peace and rest, and carry it within you and let it fill you, fill your spirit, your soul, your body with rest and peace. And just feel the lightness in your spirit, all the burdens and all the yokes which are not yours, just lift off you as he lifts them off your shoulders. As he just stands up before you, he lifts off all the weights of heaviness, of yokes and burdens which were never yours. And he places his yoke upon you. It fits you perfectly. It's light, it's easy. It just ties you to him, that he walks with you on your destiny. You just need to follow him, be guided and directed by him, because he's with you, he's in you, he goes before you, he's behind you, he's all around you. So that which you've received, just treasure in your heart, and begin to nurture it in your heart, so that you can just sense his presence all the days of your life. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life, and you will be the house of God forever. I'd encourage you to practice the presence of Jesus, of God, in your life. It's really wonderful just to be sensitive to his presence. So no matter where you are and whatever you're doing, he's with you. And you can join with him in that and be sensitive to it, you know, every day. Because it's real. Right? Now, I shared this picture with you yesterday, and I just sort of, so, you know, God wants to establish that which looks like his blueprint on earth as it is in heaven. And so when his glory shines down, it forms a shadow on earth that we must have the reflection of, which is the other way round. It's the upside down triangle where we begin to release others from out of our relationship with God. And so freely we've received, we must freely give. Now, Jesus called us to make disciples. He didn't call us to build church. That's his responsibility. Ours is to make disciples. So to share with people your experiences, to give testimony to the things that you've encountered in your lives, which will open up other people to follow the same path. You know, so I'd encourage you to give a good report to others of your relationship with God. You know, be real, be honest, but actually it's a good report. And God wants to establish government on earth that releases people into their destiny, that does not cover people provides a platform for people to find out who they are and to explore who they are in God. And you know, I share this, Romans 8:19. God really wants to reveal everyone here as his sons on the earth, radiating glory, bringing freedom to this planet, answering that groan of the black hole of creation with the sound and the song of their life and destiny.
Yes.
Just answer that call. My encouragement would be just hear the call and answer it. Now begin to engage the presence of God so that you begin to see from his perspective, that you begin to engage the Holy of Holies, that you step into him and see the beginning so that you can manifest the beginning into your day. That I believe, honestly, that God is raising up a new order in the kingdom. You know, I believe that's the order of Melchizedek. I believe that the old fivefold ministries, you know, are coming to an end in their governmental sphere. You know, I know Ian would say they ended. I think God does things over a period, but I believe they are ending because God wants to establish a new order from those four faces of God so that we get to administer four faces of God on the earth. But we're in a transition period. We're in a transition period from the Moses generation to the Joshua generation. And transition is never easy because you have to let go of old things to embrace new things without knowing what the new things are fully. And that's why it's important to be yoked to Jesus, because he'll take you and lead you into those new things. And he'll unveil them and reveal them as you spend time with him, so that you can begin to follow. Now, the Joshua generation were forerunners. And they were forerunners who went before. And I believe there are fewer forerunners. You're called, just as Peter declared from that declaration, he called forth the Joshua generation, who were willing to be forerunners, to push through, to make a way for others to follow. You know, and there is another generation, not a younger generation, just a united, different generation, that are ready, waiting for salvation. They're waiting for the light to be demonstrated that they can follow. They're waiting for Jesus to be lifted up in truth and reality, not in religion. Yeah? The next generation does not want religion. It wants reality. Now, reality is just another name for truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is what we need to introduce people. The way, the truth, and the life, and the reality of that experience, because we have experienced it. We're skinned with the way, truth, and life. You know, it's like we're covered with that. And we need to learn to step into him and be baptized into him, because then we're shielded with nine armors of God, you know, made up of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, made up of the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God. And that's when we get baptized, and we are in him with nine layers of him. What demon is going to be able to get through nine layers of God? But we have to learn to step into him, and then we minister out of being in him. And then we can see out from being in him. We can see the perspective of the lion and the kingly. We can see the perspective of the prophetic and the apostolic and the priestly, because we're in him. But you have to learn to step into him. And that I shared yesterday was that three levels of coming deeper with God. I have been practicing stepping into him and stepping into the three layers of his DNA, stepping into the three skins that he has. You know, way, truth, and life, righteousness, peace, and joy, justice, judgment, and holiness. And when you step in there, you begin to experience another level of what those things mean. And God is inviting us to step in. Now, I believe we're called to be part of the Joshua generation, to raise up and release those, mentor those, to be forerunners. We're called to embrace progressive revelation of God's kingdom. You know, there is no end to the increase of his kingdom. Therefore, there is going to be progressive revelation. What we know now will not be enough for what is coming. So we need to know more. I believe the books in Daniel have been opened that were closed for our day, which is releasing that revelation. it's releasing progressive revelation of the protocol of rulership. Because we've got to mature. We can't keep drinking milk. We've got to eat solid food and mature. That means we've got to leave the old religious institutional ways behind. And that's not easy. I'm not saying that's easy. But we have to be willing to embrace new ways. Now, I know you're here because you want to embrace new ways. You know, but there will be some challenges on the way for your mindsets and some of the things that God is going to speak to you about, which are going to rock your world. It's like my world has been rocked. It's like,
yes,
it's like everything I believed, I've had to virtually change in terms of how things work. Not what I believed about God, but actually now I know him. He's revealed things to me about how he functions that I never would have even thought about. Because I now know him. I don't know about him. I know him. And I'm getting to know him more and more every day. And I never want to not know more. If you know what I mean? It's like I'm hungry and thirsty for more of him. You know, that those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. Now, I feel absolutely satisfied, but even more hungry. Yeah. And I live in that tension. I feel so great about where I am in my relationship with God, but so hungry for more. Because the more you know about God, the more you will want to know about him. Just what he'll show you will rock you. It will challenge you to say, man, I thought this all my life. Now I got to think something different. Yeah. Am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to let go that belief system which I was brought up with as a child, and now God is showing me that everything I believed was wrong? Now, I have to have a teachable heart. And it's like, I have had to hold my hands up and say numerous times, yeah, I believed that last year. I preached that last year. I taught that last year. I don't believe that now. Sorry, I'm on a journey, and I'm on a journey of progressive revelation, and God has used stepping stones. If he had told me what I know now 4 years ago, I wouldn't be sat here. Because I would not have been able to go in one place. So he's taken me on a journey. And that journey does not look like this. It looks like this. Because you cannot see around the next bend. When you can see ahead on a straight line, you know where you're going and you know what's coming. When he takes you from one place to another, you can't see what the next place is. But you're following him on the journey, and that journey brings progressive revelation and experience and encounter and knowing him in a totally different way. And so we've got to be willing to let go of the old. However hard it is, and I know how hard it is, you know, because I had some of my pet thoughts and ideas. And when God started challenging them, and what because I knew how much he loved me, and because actually I don't really care what anyone else really thinks anymore, I wasn't really bothered. And when people kept saying, well, you keep moving the goalposts, you know, I'm saying, yeah, and they're going to keep moving. You know, because God keeps shifting them. And he keeps shifting us dimensionally. And in Revelation, there are shifts that you go through. And those shifts, they are real shifts. It's like, I was here, now I'm here. And now everything here looks different from what it did there. And I thought it looked really good there.
Yeah.
Now it looks really different. And now I'm going to have to learn all over this again. But we're on a journey with God. And that journey is going to lead us to our destiny. You know, do we want to fulfill our destiny?
Yes.
You know, well, yes. What sort of people do we need to be if we're going to fulfill our destiny? We need to be people with a different spirit.
Amen.
Caleb had a different spirit. Joshua had a different spirit. Where did he get that different spirit? Lingering after Moses left the presence of God. He stayed there. He learned things that Moses never learned. Because he stayed beyond understanding duty into understanding sonship. Yeah, and you can only do that in the presence of God. Right? And, you know, I've got 40 characteristics of the Joshua generation you can read on the blog, and they're just exercises out of Joshua's life and things that he did and that show different characteristics that we need to be. You know, we need to be a different people, an apostolic people. And apostolic people are willing to go first. Because God set in the church first apostles. That was an indication that apostles have to make way for everybody else. So they have to make the breakthroughs. And, you know, there's a story in Micah, I think, that about the Lord of the breakthrough. It's like what they did, they had shepherds and they would have the sheep, and at night they would put them in a temporary fold, which would be full of brambles and all that stuff around them. And, of course, the sheep would eat all the grass, and then they needed to go somewhere else. So what the shepherd would do, he would go for, make a way, and then he would walk through. And it says the breaker or the breakthrough has gone through first because the Lord goes ahead of us. But then who are the first sheep who are going to go through? Those who see where he's going and want to follow. Because there's a whole other sheep who weren't even looking where he was going, who were more about, where's my grass? Where's my next meal coming from? Who's going to feed me? You know, it's like, yeah, yeah, exactly. You're stepping on my foot. You know? But those who see where the shepherd goes, where the breakthrough is coming, they push through. And actually, they made a way through the brambles by pushing out, and some of them got cut and some of them got tangled, but they pushed through because they were following the breakthrough. And then others followed, because sheep follow. You know, so they're looking for people. Everyone out there is looking for someone to follow. We just need to get them to follow Jesus.
Right.
You know, yes, they can look at where we're going, but we're following Jesus, and we need to point them to Jesus, not to us. I know Paul said, follow me that I follow Christ. Which is, yeah, that's fine. But ultimately, we want people following Jesus.
Amen.
We want to disciple people to be followers of Jesus.
Right.
You know, and if they look in and see something in us of Jesus, that's great. But we point them to him.
Right.
You know, and we're willing to go first. And we're willing to make the way. And that means we have to face the opposition. And there is opposition, right, spiritually. You know, there's a whole religious system out there with the Herod of Leaven and the Pharisees, the political and religious spirit, which will do everything it possibly can to hinder this move of God.
Yes.
To stop us going where God wants us to go. Because if the enemy can stop us ruling in the heavens, he controls the atmosphere of the earth. And we do not control that from here. We need to control that from above and clear it.
Yes.
And we need to engage the angels to clear it on our behalf. It's not something we have to do on our own. But while we're here trying to get through this atmosphere, and it's oppressive and it's over us and it's creating culture, and we live in that culture and we're subject to the culture, we need to be culture changers. And the only way we're going to change culture is we go into heaven, we see the purposes of God, and we begin to transform places, one place or one apostolic resource center or one fiery pillar at a time. Till it grows and spreads and pushes the darkness further and further back. But where that darkness is, it will become darker and darker. But we will be getting lighter and lighter. You know? Because we are going to overcome the darkness. So, let's be willing to go first. You know? Now, if we're going to be that sort of people, we need to be Jesus-centered and we need to be creation lovers. We need to love creation like he loves creation. You know, he loves creation.
Yes.
Now, we're part of that creation, but actually we are over that creation in God's economy, because we're supposed to subdue it and bring dominion to it, bring heaven to it, and transform earth to look like heaven. You know, to see the garden of God on earth. And that's a place of peace and rest and provision and blessing. So we need to be that. We need to be pioneers. And adventurers. Now, I know you guys know about pioneering. I've watched all the cowboy films. You know, I know you went out west, took new land. But that's the people, that's the sort of people God wants, who are willing to take new ground and new territory. And to bring that territory under the government of God. So, God's calling us into it. What sort of people? Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. So he was saying if you've been raised up with Christ. So we know we have, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But how many of us have experienced it? How many have been on that throne, next to his throne, next to the fire stones? Because I've not seen many people there yet. You know, I've seen loads of people on their mountains, because I've been taking people there. But actually, there is a place where you are seated in sonship next to him. You hold on to his right hand as he is connected to the Father, and your right hand is released to rule and to bring government. Because the throne of God is next to his throne. Every one of our thrones is next to his throne. It's really cool. You know, when I told you I was walking and trying to find my throne, I sat down on it and instantly it was connected to him. And I'm like, his hand is there, reaching out. And I just reach up and grabbed it.
Yes.
And then it frees my right hand to bring government, connected to his government. Now that's a place God wants us all to engage in. But what does it say here? Keep seeking the things above. Don't look at the problems. Look at the solution. If you look at the problems in this realm and try and solve them in this realm, they will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you will feel smaller and smaller and smaller and less able. But if you seek the things above, where you can look down and see those things for what they are, little hills that you can shift, that you can move, because you can speak to them and you can command them to go, and you will begin to be where this says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. That is the key to all this. We have to set our minds and begin to think and then step into that which is above. Everything has to be done beyond the veil. That is what I've discovered. You can do, once you get this revelation, you can do nothing. And even what you could do does not work any longer the way you used to do it. Because now you have to do things for beyond the veil. And that means the kingdom first in heaven before it's on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to be seeking the as it is. We have to be thinking and stepping into the as it is. Then we start to administer the as it is around our life. Because you frame your world by the words and declarations and the things you do from your mountain. If you want favor and blessing around your life, frame it. Call it out from your mountain. Call the angels to go before you every single day and prepare the connections in the kingdom for you. Prepare the way. Look, I send my angels out to do everything. It's like if I want to get to a place on time, I send them out to make every traffic light green. Seriously. I send them out to get me a parking space right near where I need to go. I'm totally expectant that they go before me and prepare the way. It's like, you know, I'm expectant. I go into a car park, I get a car park right by where I need to pay and where I can just walk off quickly. Because I send them out to bring favor and blessing on me. You know, and I send them out to make the connections with people I need to make in the kingdom. They go before me because they are there to minister to me. I'm going to do, I think, a session on the angelic and engaging the angelic realm, one of these sessions, because it's really important that we know how to engage the angelic, how to work with them, how to be cooperating with them, but actually how to direct them, because they will see your destiny and they will see the mandates that you've got and they will be lining up to be involved. They do. When you go to the court of angels, you don't have to find volunteers. They're waiting for us. They're longing for us to use them because they're there as ministers to those that will inherit salvation. That's what they're there, ministers. They serve us. Now, some of them are pretty high up the food chain when it comes to the angelic, but they're all under us because we are made a little lower than God and higher than all the angelic realm because we're sons. We carry the DNA. They don't. They're all individually created. That's why Jesus cannot die for them. He can die for us because we're all created in Adam. They're all individually created. That's why those that fell, they're lost. But we get to hang out with them and to find out what they're called and to work with them. So it's a really important thing. Keep your mind focused on those things that are above. You know, and that really is, I would say, the key revelatory principle in all the new ways of God, is to do that. Do things beyond the veil. You do things there first. Now, God is raising up this Joshua generation, and he's looking for people who are committed to taking this and giving it away to the next generation, so that we can equip people to live a supernatural lifestyle. Now, what I mean by a supernatural lifestyle is not just doing the things Jesus did. It's doing the greater things that he did in heaven that we didn't see what was written on earth, but now we do get to see, because we get to go and look and see what he's doing. And that means when we've received, we must freely give. There are certain people who have key revelations that are not releasing them to the body, because they're keeping them to themselves. And God is not going to honor that. We have to freely give what we've really received and keep that attitude of giving it away. Because knowledge is power. And if you know something that someone else doesn't, you have control over them. And people are using knowledge to control things rather than freely giving it away to everyone so everyone has the same revelation. God wants us to all have the same revelation. Some people get it first because they're supposed to give it away, not keep it to themselves. And I would encourage you to continually be free to give it away. We've got to be willing to get alongside people and equip them. And be willing to get alongside ourselves. Because it's always a two-way relationship. You know, I learn from people that I mentor. I'm always open to hear from them and learn from them, because they're going to see things that I don't. And that means that we're always interdependent on one another. And God wants it that way. That's why when you're a bench of three, you see part of the picture in unity with the other two, and they see part, and it brings a whole picture. And God will not give one person all of it. Now, I had to be the person who got all the blueprints to start with. It was a lonely place. You know, and everyone looked to me to do everything. And I was desperate to find someone else to share the load. Yeah. You know, but now I feel one with two other people in that I trust them fully to submit everything before them. I submit everywhere I'm going to go to them. Like here, I submitted to them. I would have said no. You know, my first reaction is to say no to everything. Because I'm really comfortable at home, and I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm really busy, you know, and it's like, but I've learned, no, actually, I'm going to submit to you every invitation I get. And if you say God is saying to go, then I'm going to trust you. Now, I could go to God and ask him, but God wants me to trust others. And so that is my way of saying, okay, I'm going to invest my trust in you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to listen to God, because then I'm going to respond to what you say. Because actually, all of us have the ability to hear what we want to hear if we choose to.
There you go.
You know, it's like so we've got to be really careful. That's why we need accountability. You know, that's why I share the visions that I get, even when they're not fully formed. I share them with the other two in our bench. And that sometimes they're like, don't know what you're on about, but we'll keep an eye on it. Because I say, look, you know, this is where I'm going. God is calling me along this path to this. And they're saying, wow, that sounds great. You know, because some of the stuff I've seen, it's like, I have to pursue, you know, and it's going to take time to pursue it. The reason for pursuing it is because then I can give it away to others. You know, and then I share it with them, and then I begin to mentor them into engaging it. You know, and so that's how God wants us to go. We've got to be willing to go deeper with God. You know, we can't be content with where we are, to experience new things. You know, change is fearful for people, because they don't like change, because we're comfortable with things. Even the bad things we can get comfortable with and familiar with them. We've got to be willing to experience new things and to understand new truth and to pursue new ways and to pass it on to others. You know, this is a new journey we're on. We've not been here before. You can't go to a manual or a book yet because I haven't written it. But I'm working on it. So what is a supernatural lifestyle? It is being like Jesus and more. John 14:12, doing the works of Jesus and greater works. Now I love the greater works. I mean, I am really excited by the greater works. Because you get to birth things like he birthed things. And I get to saw him in creation when creation was released. I got to see the joy that he had in releasing that. Now I want to feel that joy of releasing things out of my spirit that are creative there. Because we all carry the creativity of God. We're made in his creative image. And we're made to be creative. And it's like, release your creativity. Free the boundaries and the restrictions that are on your mind that says you can't do this and you can't do this and you can't do that. Because in God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. You know, one of the freakiest things I ever did was I was taken out, and this was not something I chose to do. I was taken out to the edge of the galaxy, and I'm standing looking at all these stars moving around because they move. There's movement in the stars. You know, one of the gateways in wisdom is out into the stars, and there are 12 houses represented in the stars. And it's like, you know, people have perverted that, and the occult people have got hold of it, but actually those things are in the stars. Salvation is written in the stars. It's there. So I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then my spirit starts to just vibrate. And I'm like looking, and I'm looking down, like, what is happening? And out of my spirit, all these stars came.
Whoa!
They just came out. And, you know, I mean, our galaxy is a spiral galaxy. This formed a infinity-shaped galaxy. And it was really cool. I'm there like, wow. You know, but it was just, I didn't think about it. I didn't think, great, wouldn't it be nice today to birth a galaxy? Just my spirit, being where it was, started to create and started to release that which was in it. Because Jesus birthed the galaxies, we are joint heirs with him, therefore we're going to do greater works, so why wouldn't we do the things that he's done? So we just need our mind expanded. Now you can think, what's the point of birthing a galaxy? I've no idea. It's like, don't ask me. It's like, it just felt really good, and it felt fulfilling. But I know that things are being reformed, because all that dark energy and dark matter is going to be transformed back into light.
Yes.
You know, and we get to bring light back to those black holes and stuff. You know, so greater works. Now, how did Jesus do that? John 3:13 in the Amplified Version. This is the key. No one has ever gone up to heaven. Now, you remember at this point in time, this was before the resurrection. So they were held in paradise, which wasn't heaven. So no one had ever gone up into heaven, including Elijah or Enoch. They had gone into different dimensions. But there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who has his home in heaven. As he was standing there talking to Nicodemus, he had his home and was dwelling in heaven in the spirit. So he was living in dual realms. That was the key to everything he did. He was constantly connected to the Father. He was in the Father was in him. The Father was doing his work through him, because they were acting in unity completely. Because he was dwelling in that place. Where do you think Jesus saw that Satan wanted to sift Peter like wheat? In the court of accusation. Because Satan had the right to sift Peter because of Peter's attitudes, let's say. You know, Peter went back fishing 3 or 4 times while he was following Jesus. He didn't follow Jesus all the time. He kept going back to his old life. You know, and when you read the different Gospels and the different accounts and you pattern it all together, he finally went back to fishing several times. And Jesus recalled him. You know, so Peter had some issues, let's say. But his destiny was to be the one who preached on the day of Pentecost and saw the church birth. That was his destiny. What did the enemy try and do? Get him to deny Jesus. What did Jesus do? Get him to answer that denial and say he loved him three times in response to each denial, because he had to undo what he'd done. And Jesus gave him the opportunity. So there was an access the enemy had to sift Peter. Now, Jesus didn't say, I've told the enemy he can't do it, because he had legal access. What Jesus did say was, I have interceded that he will not do more than this. And your faith will not fail the test that's coming. So Jesus was interceding on his behalf so that he wouldn't fail the test. But he still got to take the test. But ultimately, God always gives us new opportunities to pass the test. You never fail unless you quit. And even when you make mistakes, use them as stepping stones to success. I have learned more from my mistakes than I have from good things, because I've learned not to do that again. And there are lots of things that I've learned not to do again, let me tell you. So we need to learn to live in the dual realms of heaven and earth. Now that's the key. Live that supernatural lifestyle, doing the earthly and heavenly works of Jesus. Doing it the way Jesus did it, in intimacy of love, relationship with the Father, so that he was able to see and hear and know and do his will, and so can we. We can have an exciting life with God if we choose to follow him in this way. You know, that's why John 5:19, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, because he was always seeing what the Father was doing. Always understanding, perceiving, knowing, because he was in that realm of the Spirit constantly. You know, yes, he did go up into the mountain of God to pray. He went up into heaven to do things. When he released the apostles, he went up into heaven to get authority, to release the apostles into their authority. You know, he did things in the realm of heaven. We just don't read it that way because we've been conditioned to see it as all the natural realm. But actually, when you start to see this stuff, the whole Word of God takes on a different meaning. You know, I just love reading the Word of God and thinking, wow, I never saw that like that. And I do that all the time, because I keep seeing new things and new perspectives on old things that I understood, and seeing it from the heavenly perspective rather than the earthly one. Because we're all conditioned to look at this way, on this horizontal level. But we have to start looking at the vertical level, but then we can bring that into the horizontal level in our lives. So living in heaven on earth simultaneously, being a home for God and a gateway of heaven on earth. I love that. I love John 14. I love being a habitation of God. I love being a home for God to dwell in me. And I want to make him as comfortable as possible. I want to make him feel at home. So I open that first love gate every day and I surrender the government of my life to him. And when I first did that, I surrendered to Jesus as Lord. And I became a friend. Then he told me to sit on a throne as Lord, and he became a king. Now I'm sitting there learning to be a son with a father on the throne of my life. Now that's been a journey. But it's a wonderful thing to have God filling you with his presence. You know, and to be flowing out of you and flowing around you. But we have to practice. So there is only one way this can be done legitimately. There are illegitimate ways. Jesus said, there are those that do not go into the door. So there are those that can access the realm of the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm illegitimately. And that's why there are dragons and giants and things there that are blocking and hindering our mountains. That's why there are kings blocking our gateways. That's why there are principalities on this side trying to stop us engaging heaven. But you can do it legitimately. You can step in through the invitation to come and to discover the wonderful things that God's got for us. Now, I don't know how much more I've got on this, but I mean, It's 12:30. Do you want to stop there? We can do whatever you want to do. I mean, if you want to minister communion, then just go ahead. I mean, I'd love to take part in that. But when you're taking communion, you're taking the body and blood of Jesus and take it into your DNA and get transformed. Use it to transform your life at a genetic level.